This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I know he's a super hard worker and he's very consistent. Is there any concern with a guy, like, especially, you know, your rookie class in general, like, is there a little bit of, I don't know, burnout's probably not the right word, but, like, overwork in that sense?
For sure, that's a topic that we talk about, Sam. It's a good one. Some people would have called it like the rookie wall and things like that. And I can still remember my first time coaching in the NFL. I think we got to Thanksgiving. I was just exhausted from preseason to regular season games. And you do kind of punch your way through it. I'm sure for those on the call for their first ever NFL season, it is longer than, you know, anyone's ever experienced. But we do talk about it. We do plan for, you know, how do we push ourselves through those spots and having that recalibration to go. So it does come up. It's a real thing. And you just kind of work your way through those moments. And you usually find yourself on the other side, you know, a little bit stronger. But it's a real thing.
There you go. That was the coach on the rookie wall question, Sam Fortier's question yesterday during Quinn's presser. Look, Jaden Daniels, you know, has played 14 games in a season before, 13 games, 12 regular season, you know, a bowl game, SEC title game, although he didn't play in the bowl game, I think, after he got injured in that SEC title game in 2022. But, you know, the college seasons have gotten longer over the years. All right, back to the phone lines. Bottom line is this. I'm looking for how you feel about Quinn's first answer to the first question yesterday when he was asked about the offensive struggles over the last two games. And he said, I want to first start off by saying clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now. Do you believe him? I do. Let's go to Chris in Delaware. Chris, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kev. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Loving the show. You know, whenever I disagree with you, I run to my phone and I try to call in because I feel like you're twisting yourself around in a pretzel with this.
Okay.
The coach is using he's using semantics. Okay. He's not injured. He's not on our injury report, but the kid is obviously and so clearly hurt. I've never seen a football player for now weeks on end, going on 4 or 5 weeks, after every series, go sit down on the bench and get a medical stim wrap. Now they say, oh, they're messing with his padding. They're not doing that. They're giving him a stim wrap, right? It's what you do when you go to therapy.
Why don't you?
Yeah. So if you go to physical therapy and you have an issue, some sort of muscular issue, let's say some sort of a pull, a strain, whatever it is.
Thing?
One of the, it's heat, but it's stim. It's actually, it feels like it just, this sounds like it hurts, but it's actually like little needles that it's not actual needles, but it feels like pins and needles. And what it does is it stimulates blood flow to an area. They're covering him up. They're giving him stim wrap. Notice how after every series, he's not walking up and down the sidelines and high-fiving guys. He's sitting there immobile getting a stim wrap because he's getting beat up, and he's obviously hurt. And you know,
why Jaden Daniels, they're playing him? Do you find it irresponsible that they're playing him?
Well, I think Jaden Daniels at 75% is, you know, if they're trying to manage his pain, right? And that's what you notice. We never really got an injury. They said, oh, he had a rip. What was it? Was it cartilage? Was it broken? Was it,
right.
You know, what was it? And we never got that. So they've been playing this sort of cat and mouse game with the media. And Quinn's not lying when he says he's not injured. No, he's not injured. He's not on the injury report, and we're not considering it an injury. But he's obviously hurt. And, you know, 2 weeks removed from the injury, he very well could have played through.
You think he's being dishonest. Hurt and injured are the same thing. Pain and injury are different.
Well, I think he's being dishonest to a degree, right? There's levels of gray here. And they're trying to keep him on the field. They're trying to have that a little bit of the competitive advantage. He's also the best option. You know what I mean? Like, if he feels good for an hour of the game and he's not feeling that rib, you know, put him on the sideline, get him the stim when, you know, when there's a 10-minute drive that the other offense is on the field. They're going to do that. And, you know, it's not beyond a doubt that, you know, he gets hit by Watt, but against Pittsburgh, he gets hit by, you know, Carter.
He got leveled in the rib area by Watt, but that was late in the game, very late in the
end zone. In the end zone, late in the game. So it just takes one of those plays to just fire up that injury. So it's like, again, just watch what he does on the sideline, right? I want him to play. Obviously, I want him to do well, and I want to win these games. But to a degree, last week I'm thinking, maybe lost to Philly. Rest him against Dallas. That's just kind of crazy. Rest him against Dallas. Rest him against Tennessee, and we got a bye. That's 4 weeks, roughly 4 weeks of rest he would get calendar-wise. And I don't think that's not crazy, I don't think, because you're already going up against Dallas's backup quarterback, and they're garbage. And Tennessee, you know, Levis is a backup quarterback, if it may be. So You might as well rest him and just get, you know, that's a hot take, I knew that. But I think Quinn is being dishonest, and I'll let you take some other calls.
Why do you think he didn't look to be – why do you think he played so well against the Giants and the Bears? Isn't it logical to believe that he would have been in more pain in those two games, needing more, you know, stimulation in those games?
I mean, it's not beyond, you know, my expertise with this, that 2 weeks removed from that injury on that Sunday against the Giants or whatever it was against the Bears, hey, I'm feeling good. Hey, my 20-yard out is flying today. But then 2 hours into a game, he gets some hits, and suddenly that 20-yard out is not there. Notice how many short-yard routes they've been running. Like, you know, this is all mixed in. You know, I think Kingsbury called kind of a bad game.
You do realize they were playing two deep safeties. I mean, that's why they didn't take shots Thursday night. Fangio's got two split safeties deep.
I can read it, man. Yeah, like, they definitely weren't going to take the shots. They took, like, zero shots, which is very curious for a team that basically has been moving at will. And I'm not taking anything away from Philly or Pittsburgh, the best defenses we've seen all year, hands down. But I think it's all wrapped into this question mark of, hey, they seem to be calling the games differently to a degree.
They certainly didn't call the first two games differently against Chicago or the Giants.
No, I agree with you on that. And
so again,
this is where the disconnect is
with me. If you assume, and I'm not suggesting that the Watt hit or that, you know, he wasn't as, I guess it's possible that he wasn't as sore or wasn't as much in pain, much closer to the injury than further away from the injury, but that does not make sense to me. And he played at a very high level closer to the injury than he did further away from the injury. And the only differences were the opponents.
Yes. Well, what I would say is I would throw out that notion, because these games, there are things that he could tweak between, you know, in the last 5 weeks, and ipso facto for, you know, short week.
But then he would have been limited in practice, right? Then he would have been on the injury report instead of not. You know, you risk, you know, fines and docked draft choices by fooling around and trying to convince, to fake, you know, injury report information.
Absolutely. And
okay.
This is just based on what I'm watching. Look at him on the sideline against Dallas.
Could be
Sunday.
Preventative, couldn't it, Chris? It could be preventative.
Rather than
treating an acute situation, it could be preventative.
Well, they're definitely trying to like prevent it from getting any worse. Yeah, and when you're getting hit like that, the stim makes that stuff feel better. You can look into all this. You have Denton looking into it.
I agree with you. I'm just saying the reasons for the in-game on-bench treatment could be more, this is, you know, we're just going to keep you comfortable. You've been, you know, you feel great, but let's just continue to use what we've been using during the week. Listen, a really good call, and I appreciate it. I got to move on to other callers. Let's get to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, do you believe Quinn or not?
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, I believe him 100%. To me, he has no reason to lie. You know, he's new. His staff is new. And, you know, people are really believing everything he does, the moves he makes. He'd be foolish to lie, especially then if he got caught in it. And, you know, I think that Jaden is a little tentative because I don't know if you've ever had a rib injury, but when you twist your body,
yes, it's painful.
It takes a while. It's sore.
Yes.
It's sore.
Yeah.
But it's not something that, you know, could really get a whole lot worse. It's just got to heal, and every week will be better than the week before. So, you know, no reason to not believe him. I believe him 100%.
Yep, thanks. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
My goodness, it's football. It's week 12. Everybody to some degree is hurt, be injured this. Not to sound like Doc Walker too much, but if you're on the field, we're going to judge you like you're any other player. He played, and you've said it a million times, we're parsing out when he's hurt versus when he's not. It's the opponents. When you play lesser teams, you look better. When you play better teams, you look worse. And I think this past 2 weeks is a pump your brakes moment for everybody who's was running away with their NFC contenders. Adam Peters is GM of the year. Dan Quinn is coach of the year. Jane Daniels is the greatest rookie ever. All
yeah.
this stuff.
Well, he's still tracking towards that.
Okay. I'm saying he's a great player. He is likely the offensive rookie of the year. The future is bright. But again, you talked about the Kingsbury regression with Ben the other day, and has been well documented. Dan Quinn has had some issues of finishing seasons before. Jane Daniels has never played in a cold weather game. Jane Daniels has never played this many games. There's a long season, as you always say. Week 1-3 is a head fake. Give it time. Look, I think this is an 11-win team. I don't think they'll win the division because I think Philly's better. And when they come here, it'll be a pseudo-home game just like the Pittsburgh game was. So I think there's a lot of optimism, and rightfully so. If you win 11 games for the first time in forever, you make a wild card, maybe you can win a playoff game. That's all fine. But this notion that he's hurt because he didn't play well, no, he didn't play well. That's yeah. what the issue is. Focus on that. But this is what's happened. The fan base is so in love with him that every time something goes wrong, oh, Cliff Kingsbury's play calling's a problem. Oh, no, he's hurt. Oh, no, the field conditions weren't there. No, it's okay to say Jane Daniels is awesome, but he also played bad.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
Yeah, I think that they had quite a back-to-backer in 4 days, four nights. Massive test for a young football team. There are players on the team that aren't young. There are players on the team that have rings. But for the rookie quarterback, in preparation, by the way, on the back half of those two, for one of the better defensive coordinators of this century. And they're loaded defensively. Let me just mention one thing, because I want to make sure we're clear on the Kingsbury regression thing, because I know I talked about this yesterday. The regression that everybody talks about, and I'll net it out, is true in that the teams that he was the head coach of at Texas Tech and the teams in Arizona tended to fade late and start quickly fade late. But the reasons for the fade, were not always offense, which is what we care about. They were, you know, multiple times defensive failures when the offense actually was putting up 40, 30 a game, 40 a game. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, do you believe Quinn or not when he said, clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now? Oh, Greg's gone. Let's go to Billy. Billy, go ahead. Billy.
It's just the dumbest thing in the history of the NFL to start off a press conference with our quarterback's not hurt. Who does that?
Well, he was asked clearly he wanted to get it out. Why do you think it was the dumbest thing ever?
It just doesn't make any sense. It's not representative of putting out messaging around the whole team. He's obviously hurt. Look, I called Jaden, I still believe, is the best rookie passing quarterback I'd ever seen in the first six games of the season until he got injured against Carolina, and now he's not the same guy. So you had a guy that you had a six-game sample with. He is lighting up the league, sees the field unbelievably, can move all over the field, can't be tackled, and then gets hurt, and has not been the same guy. So, yeah, he's hurt. Anybody who comes off the field and has to get a wrap around him.
Again, let me interrupt you for a second. Because let me interrupt you for a second because when you say he got hurt and he hasn't been the same guy since, he may have had his best overall game in the Giant game on the road. He played very well against Chicago. The first two games after that injury that you said he hasn't been the same, he was actually better in one of those two games. So I would just ask, is there not just something that makes you pause and say, well, the next two opponents were much better tests?
Kevin, you've already called both the Giants and the Bears terrible teams versus the
But he played exceptionally well.
Statistically, or did your eyes say that?
Oh, my eyes said he
did
was insanely good against the Giants. I said that may have been his best game. His QBR in the Giant game, I'll look it up real quickly. I think it was the highest of the season for him.
Right, that's statistics. So, but did your eyes say that?
Statistics.
Looks like the same guy?
Yes, my eyes said, "Wow!" Remember the throw he made to Terry right before the end of the half in the end zone?
He made some unbelievable throws.
Yeah. How about the throw to Noah Brown over the coverage?
I've ever seen. He's the best rookie quarterback
I've
ever seen.
How about the quick deke of the blitzing safety that he ran 16 yards on? Come on. There was nothing about the Bear or Giant game that said he's any different than he'd been before. That's my problem with this. I watched those two games, and they didn't call the games any differently, and there wasn't anything different about his performance. In fact, in one of the games, he was maybe as good as he had been all year long. That's all. And then the next two games, further away from the injury, somehow he's injured. He's not the same. It's possible.
From my point of view, Kevin, and listen, I appreciate it. And look, thankfully, we've got a great guy. Let's keep him healthy and upright.
Yeah.
Number one from Quinn, I don't like it. I don't like that you didn't kick the field goal against the Eagles. So those are two strikes for me right now. You want to talk about a litmus test? You think the Ravens were a litmus test? This is the litmus test this weekend. Go out and roll the Cowboys. Thank you.
Right. Not only, keep in mind, not only did he... You know, there's just so much evidence that if you really believe that he's been playing injured, the fact that they ran three quarterback counters in the game against Philadelphia, you should be outraged. Outraged if he was playing compromised against Philadelphia. What in God's name would they be calling three QB counters in the game for? Let's go to Aveen. Aveen, make it quick.
Hey, Kevin. I don't totally believe it. I think he's playing injured right now. He's getting wrapped up like a mummy in between series in his midsection. Like, when do we ever see that?
Why
that
are they running QB counters in the game, Aveen?
I don't know. It might have been a thing where they realized later on in the game because I think they were running more to the outside like in the second half. But I'll say this, two of our best film watchers, all 22 film watchers, Nick Ackridge and Mark Bullock, they've both said they think the injury played a pretty big part.
Ackridge said that. I'm sorry, and who did they play for?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, they're guys you have on all the time. I think they're great and pretty objective.
I don't have one of those guys on. I know that. But
what,
anyway,
Nick Ackert,
I like
BFF,
Nick.
And Mark,
I do like
Bullock.
Nick. Yeah. Look, so I've talked. I've mentioned this. There are, if you want to know, and I could be. It's very possible I've been lied to. But going back to right after the Pittsburgh game, which wasn't a bad game, it was just a subpar game or an average game for him. I was told, no. He was not limited at all, and he's definitely much more comfortable than he was 2 weeks ago. Now, if he got hurt in that game, the TJ Watt hit, and then they played him in the Philadelphia game and were running him on quarterback counters, that's kind of irresponsible. Paulie, make it quick. Go.
Yeah, hell to the W, man. Hey, Sheen, this is not a surprise from you, man. You know what I mean? This is Kirk Cousins all over again with you. You done broke up with Kirk, and now you're with JD. The man is compromised. Period. You can see that, man. You keep bringing up these two games.
Let me just tell you something. Jaden's much cuter. He's much cuter. Yeah, I'm much more smitten with Jaden.
You don't even talk about Kirk no more. It's all JD 5. Same BS excuses, man. The man is compromised. Yeah, he's not. This is wordplay. He's not injured. But he's clearly compromised and hurt. You keep bringing up
then
one
you,
hit.
Then you've
speed.
Got to believe that they have been irresponsible, right? Please follow it up with that.
Hold on. We said they've been irresponsible before. They were irresponsible in the first game when we were down.
The first game at the end, down 17, right. running. Right. Yes. I didn't like those calls.
Hold on, listen.
But he wasn't injured in the opener.
Against the Bears, they was running quarterback design plays. Here's the thing. He was trending up against the Bears in Chicago. I truly believe he was still getting healthier.
Giants.
Giants, whatever. I clearly believe he was getting healthier. Pittsburgh pounded on him. It wasn't just T.J. Watt. It was the whole game. It was Watt. It was Highsmith. It was Hayward. They put a beating on him. And he said
it wasn't on the injury report, and it was a walkthrough, and then they ran three quarterback counters in the game. They are treating this new love of mine very poorly.
Yes. No. They treat him like a man. He said, just like Doc said, you out in that field, you can play, then we're going to treat you like you can play. But you look at that Eagles game. Everything was a bunch.
Well, then you're irresponsible because he didn't give you the best chance to win.
No, he did. He did give you the best chance to win because you had a lead with 8 minutes left in the game, and then your head
with 10 points. With 10 points,
it doesn't matter, man. Sometimes that's how you got to win games. But then your head coach decides not to kick the field goal with 4 minutes left. So I mean, whatever. But the whole thing is. You can tell
this is great. I got to run. Hit me up. I got to run. Theismann's hanging on for me. Joe Theismann next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joe Theismann is with us, at Theismann7 on X on Twitter. And I was just looking through. By the way, how are you?
I'm good, Kevin. Good to catch up with you again this morning.
It's always nice to have you on. I was looking through your latest tweets during the break, and you tweeted out, just another Grey Cup for the Argos. Congratulations. And as many times as I have talked to you, I don't think I've ever asked you about your time as a Toronto Argonaut. For those that don't know, Joe was an incredible college quarterback at Notre Dame. He was a Heisman candidate. Hence, you know, it was Theismann, went to Theismann. I think most people know that story. But your first professional football playing days were with the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL. And in your rookie year, you went to the Grey Cup game. So tell me what your memories are of those early professional days in Canada.
It was absolutely wonderful, Kevin. First of all, I wound up in Canada. I got drafted in the fourth round. It was the third pick by the Miami Dolphins, but actually it was the fourth round because they had to give up a number one to Baltimore because Coach Shula left Baltimore and went to Miami.
Right.
So I wound up
did we lose Joe?
Couldn't, because you get too emotionally involved if you try and do something yourself. And so anyway, I wound up signing with the Argonauts, had a coach up there by the name of Leo Cahill, who was quite the character, but it was a football team that was unbelievable. I mean, when I look at the Argonaut teams that I had a chance to play on, 1971, we go to the Grey Cup. 1972, I break my leg in the first game of the season against Montreal. I'm out for six weeks. I only broke one bone, the fibula. And they say it's a non-weight-bearing bone. Don't you believe that, okay? It hurts if you try and walk on it.
But was it the same leg, Joe?
Same leg, yeah. Same leg. Only one bone, though. And it was. So I went back. I was back playing in 6 weeks. And then in my last year in 73, when, it was, again, we went back to the playoffs and the general manager was a guy by the name of John Barrow. John Barrow was a terrific player in Hamilton. Of course, Hamilton, Toronto had the same kind of rivalry that Dallas and Washington have.
Really?
Well, it would be like the Argonauts hired him as their GM. It would be like hiring somebody from the Dallas Cowboys to be your general manager in Washington. Okay. It just didn't work out. So anyway, I wind up spending 3 years up there, but I mean, we had Eric Flea Allen from Michigan State was on the team. My center was a guy by the name of Paul Desjardins, who was a PhD in biochemistry. One of my wide receivers was a guy by the name of Mike Eben, who was a PhD in Germanic languages. And then they had guys, Noah Jackson went on to play with the Chicago Bears. Ron Mikulajczyk went on to play with the Giants. Billy Simon was the Packers. Dave Ramey was with the Browns. Marv Lester was a All-American at UCLA. Mel Prophet, All-American tight end, UCLA. Leon McQuay, X-Ray McQuay, was out of Tampa, one of the fastest guys I've ever seen in my life. It was only 12 Americans, I believe, and then everybody else had to be Canadian. But it was an incredible team. We had a fantastic time. I love living in the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
My two older children, Joe and Amy, were both born in Toronto. What a great city. And they were 9-point underdogs to Winnipeg in the Grey Cup just yesterday. Or I should say on Sunday, and they wound up winning. I mean, it was an incredible game. Their defense played great. I watched the game, and it was, like I say, go Argos, man. I was excited for them.
When you lived in Toronto for 3 years, was it important? I mean, we know hockey is everything, and at that point they didn't have a baseball team, they didn't have an NBA team. I'm curious, by the way, because Toronto is such a great city now, such an international city. Was it the same in 1971?
Well, you got to remember what was going on in 1971. You had protests in the United States, and it was a great city, and we were winning. And winning gets a lot of fans out. We played down by the Lake Ontario, I believe it was, and it was the old CNE Stadium. It was a fairground, and we didn't practice till 5 o'clock in the afternoon because everybody had day jobs. Well, most guys had day jobs. I was the highest paid player in the Canadian Football League back then at $50,000 a year. Wow. In 1984, I was the fourth highest paid player in the National Football League at $1 million a year. Warren Moon was the highest at 1.4. So, you know, times were very much different then. So guys had jobs. I worked at a car dealership during the day. I learned how to, lease cars and sell leasing and all that stuff. And
so, I bet you were a hell of a car salesman.
But
you could sell anything.
I think I've always been a heck of a car salesman.
I'm not saying that in that way. I'm not saying a used car salesman. You're just a real, you can pitch anything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And but I loved it up there. Worked for a guy by the name of John Carmichael. And I love my days in Toronto. I really did. We're going to the Grey Cup. And it's interesting because, see, here, like in the Super Bowl, the cities become rivals, like San Francisco, Kansas City. You know, people have an interest in it, but if you're in those two cities, that's where the rivalry is. In Canadian football, it's basically East versus West. There aren't that many teams. So the Western part of, like, we played Calgary in the Grey Cup, actually in Vancouver, and lost. Leon fumbled, but McQuay fumbled the ball on the 3-yard line when we were sort of hoping.
In the rain, it says. It was a downpour.
Oh, yeah. It was a miserable day. And so we wind up losing that in Vancouver. But it was, the supporters of Calgary were the entire part of the Western part of Canada. And for us in Toronto, we were really the eastern part of Canada. But it was, like I said, you remember John Carlos, right?
The Olympic, of course. You're talking about 68 Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. So he is. He comes to, he tries to come to the Canadian League and drove up there with his, I'll never forget, somebody said he came with his Volkswagen and his Great Dane to Montreal. to play with the Montreal Alouettes. But a lot of great memories up in Toronto. A lot of great friends still.
Wow. That's fascinating. The Grey Cup kind of happens every year, and the only reason I ever hear about it is because Chris Berman, during his fastest 3 minutes at halftime of the Monday night game, starts talking about the Grey Cup because he's always done something on it. He's had a fascination with the CFL. And, in ESPN's early days in the late 70s, you were already in the NFL at that time. The first football that they broadcast CFL games all summer long.
They did. And I actually, I was the emissary for the Canadian Football League. I flew to New York about every 2 weeks to promote the Canadian Football League and meet with the executives and, so we could get it on TV down here. And it's interesting, George Allen traded a number one pick to the Miami Dolphins for me to be able to join, the Redskins at that time. But yeah, it was, I loved it up there. Economically, I'd have been like Warren Moon and Doug Flutie and guys that played a long time up there had the economics been a little bit different. But at the time I was ready to leave in 73, the ownership of the Argonauts decided they wanted to economically, not pay a lot of money. So the choice was easy, but I always wanted to come back and play in the NFL. I had my eye on the NFL anyway.
I know it was only 3 years, and obviously what you accomplished here, you're a legend in this town. How do Toronto people and sports fans and Argonaut fans view you, that are of a certain age?
They still call me Joe the Throw. That was sort of like the headlines. We threw it around all over. Remember, it was only three downs. And we threw it around all over the place. And I had a, like I said, I was very fortunate. I've been very blessed with it, whether it was Pop Warner football in South River, New Jersey, whether it was high school football, whether it was at Notre Dame, whether it was in the Canadian League or professional football. I've been blessed with offensive lines to a large degree. And, the opportunity to be able to win, and people get excited. I still go back to Toronto every now and then. It isn't the young people's, it's the fathers and grandfathers that talk about the 70s and what it was like in Toronto. And now, I mean, Doug's won a championship there. You've got four or five different guys that have won championships. And of course, we finished second to Calgary out there by a guy by the name of Jerry Keeling, who was the quarterback. But it was a fantastic experience. The fans were unbelievable. You know, you had half the country rooting for you. You know, yeah. Like I said, here you've got the city rooting for you, and then there's 31 of the teams that don't like you. But right. the fans, when we played at RFK Stadium, it was special. I mean, when they're, you know, in the NFC Championship game, when the ground is shaking beneath my feet and they're pounding on those seats and they're screaming and yelling, it was the intimacy of that stadium that made it so interesting. I mean, it was a baseball stadium. So yeah. the stands, you know, you had about 3 feet of stands and there were the fans right there. When you went into the dugout, they were hanging right over. I mean, it was rabid. It was really cool. I mean, it really was.
I don't know if you heard the news, but the RFK site plan passed this morning in that Senate committee, which now makes it more than likely, it's still got to go to the Senate floor to get done. And then it's a matter of the team in the city negotiating a deal to put the next stadium back at the RFK site.
I think the younger people in Washington probably can't appreciate it as much as some of the older people that have been around to know what it was like to go into that stadium. And you know, what they're doing now with new stadiums is they're not as big as they've been. So the True. Intimacy is probably going to yes. come back. You know, you're looking at, instead of 85, you're looking at maybe, well, I don't know, 60, 65,000. I don't know the number, right. what it would be. But yeah, I didn't realize there was as much acreage around RFK as there was. We did a thing on Peyton Place with Peyton Manning, Jeff Bostic, Larry Brown, Mark.
Yeah, Mosley. I remember. You took him into the stadium.
Yeah, we did that. Peyton came into the stadium. And I remember standing across the street and looking behind me at all the land that was there. It was the sure. first time I'd realized that, you know, it's a very viable possibility because you need certain amounts of acreage to be able to build a stadium and handle parking and everything else. And so, you know, it would be some great memories if they did wind up going there.
Yeah, so special for, you know, people of a certain age. I mean, obviously for the players, but for people, you know, my age, right around my age, who, you know, were in that stadium for, I mean, you mentioned the 80, I've talked about it for years now. I think it's the most electric environment for a sporting event I've ever been to. No, you know, question. That and kind of championship fights in Vegas, there have been a couple of those, but that was... You know, I've said it a million times. You know, we were a late arriving family. My father was one that wanted to get there just as the game was kicking off. You know, we'd leave the house at about 12:20 for a 1 o'clock game. For that one, we were in our seats an hour before kickoff, and so was everybody else.
Yep,
it was amazing.
You know, I drive by old RFK on my way to the stadium now, to every game
now.
You
go through the city, yeah.
I go right through the city, right down East Capitol and drive by, and I, you know, it's a very nostalgic trip for me, and it brings back some great memories of where we used to park, and after the game was over, coming out into the parking lot, and you know, the walk that we had with Peyton through the stadium, because he had never been there, but to, you know, picture Mark Mosley making a kick against the Giants, or you know, laying on the field looking up at that stupid clock at 10:05 p.m. the night my leg got hurt. Okay, I mean, it's just. There's a lot of memories there, And then they come back. It's wonderful.
Yeah, let's hope it gets done. All right, let's talk some football. Joe Theismann joining us. So we just did about 45 minutes, including calls, on something that Dan Quinn said yesterday. Dan Quinn, you know, in his was asked about the offensive struggles over the last 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and he answered the question by saying, first off, I want to say clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now. And so I personally believe him. I think the opponents were just incredibly tough versus the Giants and the Bears games, which were actually closer to the injury, and he played well. You're the quarterback. You know what an injured one looks like. What do you think?
He's fine. I don't see any indications of him favoring the way he throws the ball. I don't see him flinching when he gets hit. And certainly he's been getting hit. And it's these last 2 weeks, it's a lot of football. Jaden has started so well that you forget how young he is in this game. You forget that, you're going up against two of the best defenses in football. And as a matter of fact, just as a little sidebar here, you better not take the Dallas Cowboys front lightly. They put a ton of pressure on C.J. Stroud last night. A ton of pressure. And I guarantee you they're going to bring everything they can because, really, Terry's the only one that's been catching the ball much. So they're going to bring all the kitchen sink at Jaden. And I'm sure he's going to be under a lot of duress, a lot of pressure. And this is going to be a great game for him to be able to continue to grow at the position. But we forget how young he is. He's only thrown 10 touchdown passes, Kev. 6 to Terry. You're 11 games in. You've got 10 touchdown passes. And it isn't all Jaden, obviously. But there's a growth process that goes along with it. What I noticed in the last game against Philadelphia is that a lot of the throws were low, which obviously if you're going to miss, you want to miss low, but a lot of the throws were basically low. And against Pittsburgh, he had a couple guys where maybe there were game-changing plays that could have happened. But you're going to have that inside the game. But I think we as fans and TV and everybody, we got a little ahead of ourselves with the way Jaden was playing. He was playing out of his mind. Playing great football, but it's a long season. Basically, starting with this week, the college season would be over for most teams, unless you went on to the playoff, which, you get the chance to do, but he hadn't really. So now you've got, you've got 6 more games ahead of you, and physically it takes a heck of a pounding. You take a heck of a pounding, but to answer your question, I don't see anything physically wrong with him at all.
I want to ask you about a couple of plays that they run. In fact, a lot of teams run. Josh Allen runs them. Kyler Murray runs them. Lamar runs them. I'm not talking about the option, the read option plays. I'm not talking about quarterback draw. I'm not talking about the scrambles. I'm talking about, and we started to first really see it with Cam Newton. You may have a memory of somebody before that, where they literally ran the quarterback like a running back. Quarterback counter, quarterback power, quarterback sweep. Lamar, on the 2-point conversion the other day. You see Lamar on quarterback sweeps or quarterback powers all the time. And they ran 3 of those with Jaden the other night. Let me just tell you, I'm curious as to what you think. Those plays are guaranteed to end with a tackle in the similar way that a running back gets tackled. Not an open field slide, not a read option out on the edge. Do you like those plays or not?
No, I don't. I don't like the play. As a matter of fact, it's basically the single wing.
Yeah.
If you think about the history of football, it's the single wing. The person receiving the snap is going to run left or run right. There is no – the speed of these linebackers today, the speed of the defensive ends, you're not going to outrun them. And truthfully, what you've got is what you've basically got to a large degree blocking on the end of the line of scrimmage is a wide receiver trying to block a 240-pound linebacker who has eyes on the ball. Or possibly even the back in front of them. But any way you can force a defender to take a false step or even have their eyes go in a different direction, you gain a little bit of an advantage. But when you start running these powers, Kyler does it too, and Kyler's got all these little quick moves. And, the thing about it is if there's nowhere to go, and this is the thing with Jaden, if there's nowhere to go, go down. Line up on 2nd and 12. That's you can overcome that easily enough.
Josh Allen and Cam Newton have the build to run some of those.
Daniel Jones does it.
I'm sorry?
Daniel Jones.
Yes, Daniel Jones does it. Not anymore, but yes.
No, he won't go in forward unless something happens. But no, right. I think it's part of what the coaches try and do, and every now and then you catch one the right way. But if you were to take, I think, all of the runs that we have had, like with Jaden doing that, what's the average per game, per play? Where does it fit in?
Those plays very low. They had a touchdown run against the Cardinals on one of those plays and kind of got untouched. But for the most part, I bet it's less than 4 yards per carry.
I think it's a little bit different down around the goal line than it is in the field of play. I think it's, you know, in the field of play, you've got more people, have a little more room to be able to pursue and come up. But I guarantee you will continue, and hopefully he'll break one or two. But I think it's all part of what, you know, way Cliff calls a game. And like I said, it's, you know, when you call a game and guys are dropping the ball or not catching the football or you're missing a throw here or throw there, it changes the dynamic of what you want to do as a play caller. You know, things were, you know, we were running on through the first 8 games. I mean, we were running on all cylinders. Everything was going. Now, this is a great game for this football team to find out who they are. You know, you've played two really, really good defenses in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Now you're going to get a Cowboy team that defensively, I think, can present quite a problem. Offensively, our defense, you know, we're ranked 30th when
they
it comes
stink
to people running,
on offense,
running the
Joe.
Ball. We just can't
they
stop
stink
it
on
late
offense.
In the game. I mean, you mean defense.
Well, the Cowboys stink on offense right now. Excuse me. Yes. The Cowboys offense can't run the football to save their life.
And they have trouble throwing the football. I totally agree with you. But this, you don't want to have one of these games where all of a sudden Coop rushed all of a sudden. Whoops. Okay. Now you want to look like you're Josh Allen running around and doing things. CeeDee Lamb still, I think, is a great challenge for anybody. The tight ends, they incorporated a fair amount of tight ends in their offense last night. I think it's, you know, it's certainly a game when you look at the teams and say, you know, we're a better football team. But again, this is the NFL, and you know, they're going to ride their defense. I was watching one of the shows this morning, and you know, they have all these different segments. They have the pancake segments on ESPN, and they have some other segments on the NFL Network and stuff. And you're reaching a point of the season where when do the guys and how hard is it for a coach to keep his football team playing at a high level? We already know that the Dallas Cowboy players are frustrated. Just look at the looks on their faces.
Yeah.
And this is what you want to do. You want to make them disheartened. You want to get on them really quick and take any fight out of them that they might have left. That's the thing that you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, right last night, I just sat there and said, this, because you never say it in these games, because we know these Washington-Dallas games and the division games over the years, they get crazy. I mean, things happen that you don't expect. But Dallas is, I think Zimmer's actually the key with Parsons and some of the defenders. I agree with you that he can confuse a young quarterback like maybe Vic Fangio did to a certain degree on Thursday night. I did want to ask, but I was going to say that this is, I hate to say it, but it's a should-win game.
You hate to say it, but you know what the NFL is like.
I know.
I got to get going today.
I know you do. So, I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for doing this as always. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Joe Theismann, everybody. There you go. Usually when he does that, it means he's got a 12 noon tee time that he is rushing towards. Joe plays a lot of golf. Got something for you real quick when we come back. It is a record that was broken this weekend by somebody locally. At 12, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, will jump on with us. We'll talk Alex Ovechkin. And Eric Flack next hour will tell us more about the RFK site bill that was passed today. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. Yeah, I wanted to just say that Ty Felton, the receiver for Maryland this year, I talked about him early in the season, and I go, this guy is going to be an NFL receiver, and he's going to have a chance to break some records here. He was just named to the Biletnikoff Award semifinalist list with some really good receivers. The kid Ryan Williams, the 17-year-old, maybe 18 now at Bama. Kid from Arizona who's going to be, I don't know, is McMillan going to be a first-round pick? Maybe Denton. Restrepo from Miami, Smith from Ohio State, Travis Hunter, who's going to probably win the Heisman Trophy, I would think, at this point. But Ty Felton this past Saturday in Maryland's loss to Rutgers passed DJ Moore for the most receptions in a season in Maryland football history. He's got a chance in the final two games to become the all-time single-season yardage leader in receptions, but congrats to him. He's been really fun to watch this year. I think he has a future on Sundays in the NFL. So congrats to Ty Felton. I don't think he'll win the Biletnikoff Award because Maryland's not been very good, and guys like, you know, Smith and Restrepo and Williams and obviously Travis Hunter, these in McMillan at Arizona, but congrats to Ty Felton. He has been outstanding in a year that has been, you know, let's just call it what it's been. It's been disappointing if you're a Maryland football fan like I am. All right, up next, Greg Wyshynski, longtime ESPN senior writer, will join us. We'll talk about Ovechkin and then the injury. Ovechkin got hurt in the third period last night after scoring two more goals. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.